And now to the reaction to Patrick Kennedy's new memoir detailing not only his own alcoholism, but that of his parents. He writes of his childhood fear that his mother would be humiliated by it, of his compassion for his father, Ted Kennedy, who'd seen two brothers assassinated. But he claimed the right to tell about the impact of family drinking on him, something that's still hard. Here he is on 60 Minutes.
I still, right now, Leslie, have trouble talking about this.
Why?
This is like breaking the family code here. I am now outside the family line.
Well, our next guest says every family with alcoholism has a code of secrecy. And also, he isn't surprised that Patrick's older brother, Ted Jr., denied Patrick's account. Dr. Robert Ackerman co-founded the National Association of Children of Alcoholics. He's worked with the National Institutes on Mental Health. Robert, welcome.
Hey, Robin, thank you.
And obviously, you don't know the Kennedys, and we're not asking you to comment on their story, except when it intersects with this bigger story that you are talking about. People are saying, how could it be that one child can say one thing so strongly about parents and another does not? How common is that, and why might that happen in families?
It's very, very common. And, you know, several years ago, I was amazed when I met so many adult children of alcoholics whose siblings did not consider themselves to be adult children of alcoholics. And there's a lot of different reasons for it. But, you know, quickly it runs all the way from your perception of what was going on, your age at the time. You know, a 10-year-old sees this very, very differently than, an 18-year-old. Your gender can have a lot to do with it. You know, daughters of alcoholics in many cases talked about the experience very, very differently than sons talked about the experience. Let me just give you an example. Daughters, for example, of alcoholic fathers, which is the most common in about 60% of the cases, they talked about their dads almost from a defensive point of view. But daughters of alcoholic mothers talked about their moms almost from an attacking point of view.
Well, and you're right. It's far more socially acceptable for a strong man to, you know, knock some drinks back and get a little drunk. It's almost funny or appealing in some cases, but not for women.
You know, a man can get inebriated and make a fool out of himself in public, but by our cultural standards, he's still permitted to feel masculine, isn't he?
Yeah.
And it's very difficult for a woman to do the same thing.
So you say that different siblings can see this in different ways, but talk about denial. So it's one thing if you didn't have the same family experience. Maybe you'd already left the house when alcoholism happened, or maybe you were too young to really understand what was going on. It's another thing when two people see the exact same thing and one denies it. Now, there's denial because you're ashamed and you don't want people to know, but can you actually not see it?
Well, yes, we would think after all these years and dealing with all of these issues that we'd have a handle on the concept of denial. But, you know, one way of looking at it is what's really in it for the person who does deny. Men, you know, coming out of alcoholic families, boy, if it's your mom, we will deny for a much, much, much longer time that mom ever had a drinking problem than we would say if dad had a drinking problem. You know, I denied and protected my dad for years. And finally, when I was older, I thought about what's in it for me. And I thought, as long as I deny that he was alcoholic, I got to deny that it really hurt me. And if I wasn't hurt, then I didn't have to do anything about it. And I found out, you know, later that just wasn't true, that it had a huge impact on me.
Well, it's interesting. And this Patrick Kennedy book and 60 Minutes interview has sparked a lot of conversation in our own office. Two people were talking, and both had the experience of having someone in the family, in one case standing right next to a dying parent, being told that parent was alcoholic and saying, that's not true.
Right.
And another sibling saying, what are you talking about? We've been trying to say this for years. So you can have two people looking at the same thing and for whatever reason not seeing it. You go on to say that in many cases, for instance, a mother might deny it to try to protect children.
Sure. You know, one classic case I saw was that people came to hear me speak, and there were sisters there, and they were asking me all kinds of questions. And the father was alcoholic in this case, but had quit drinking some time ago. But the oldest sister went on, and the younger sister said to her, "We never realized that you were impacted by this." And this very quiet mother spoke up, and she said, "You weren't affected. None of you were affected."
Mm.
You know, just like that. But, you know, mom spent her life, you know, trying to protect her children. And if her kids were affected, then mom, you know, thought maybe she had failed.
Well, you go on to write, and this is an interesting way of putting it, that Well, anonymity mm-hmm. is protective for the alcoholic if they're trying to get well.
Right.
It is disastrous for the children.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned Patrick Kennedy, and the phrase that he kept talking about was silence and a conspiracy of silence. You know, I've always talked about if you're living in an alcoholic family, you know, addiction takes hostages is what it does. And it just puts a whole lid on what you can say and can't say in your family. And it starts to put a lid on yourself. And pretty soon you find yourself going out of your way to cover up with what you live with every day.
You talk about the range of alcoholism. It can be the very obvious abusive, violent alcoholic. It can be the partier.
Right.
It can be the someone who just, you know, curls up in a ball and is passive and drinks. But what is the one thing that each of those different kinds of alcoholism, what is the impact
I think
on
the
child?
The stuff that really, really stands out the most is that it really has an impact in, you know, normal human development. You know, those things that you and I should work on as we're growing up, the development of trust, the development of intimacy with other people, a great sense of creativity, a sense of self-accomplishment. And, you know, when you're second or third to a bottle or you're second or third to Oxycontin or something like that, it's very, very painful. I was aware of this as a kid, and I never said anything to anybody, but I never really felt that I was as good as the other children, that, wow, they must have come from a really good home. I just was not about to share my home. And it's not just what's happening to you. I believe the greatest impact, especially on children, is not what's happened. It's what they're missing.
Well, you talk about social isolation. People start to withdraw. You're not going to bring mm-hmm. people home. Patrick says he and his two siblings tried to have an intervention at one point with his father, Ted Kennedy. But his father got up and walked out and subsequently told him to stay with his sister or mother from then on, not to visit. Now, they repaired that relationship a bit later after Patrick says he gave an impassioned speech about mental health. But talk about that anecdote. Apply it broader. Isn't part of the problem? I mean, you might say, well, if it was that bad, why didn't you say something?
Right.
It's almost existential to say something if you feel the parent's going to walk out on you.
That's exactly right. We have absolutely no idea how that parent is going to take it. You know, I wound up with the same thing. I finally got enough nerve to say something to my father, you know, as I was a young man, and my dad sort of politely told me where to go. But much later, I felt hypocritical because I wasn't saying something to my own dad. And so what I did to my father is I wrote him a letter saying all the things I would say if we were face-to-face so I could at least try to get my message across.
You say problems can't be talked away, but just sharing the family secret, a positive beginning for non-alcoholic family members, you write.
Right.
But people might be looking up and thinking, wow, Patrick Kennedy tried to do that, and now his family's furious at him.
Yeah, well, you know, the number one thing is, and I believe this more than anything else, and that is people and members of an alcoholic family, quite simply, have a right to recovery. It's as simple as that, whether that person is 5 years old or 55 years old. You have a right to recovery. And that right to recovery does not depend on whether or not that alcoholic gets sober. It depends on whether or not you take enough interest in yourself or your children to get help. We can't sit around and wait for somebody who's drug affected to make a rational decision.
Well, you even say that people have long thought the alcoholic should get the help first, but the majority do not stop drinking. So focus your attention instead on the non-alcoholic family member and some of the things you just listed. But also address, you know, why people are so secretive and ashamed. I mean, we don't yet talk about this as an illness.
No, you know, it's, you know, one of the things we would think after, you know, all of these years of working on this, and there's more and more and more acceptance of recovery in our society for people, but, you know, there's still a stigma. You know, addiction has always carried just such a powerful negative connotation in our society. So it's no wonder that, you know, people still want to, you know, to cover it up.
That's Robert Ackerman, one of the early authors on Adult Children of Alcohol, professor emeritus at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Robert, thank you.
Thank you.